Hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. I hope everyone is having a fantastic day today. And I know, Dad, you're up there in D.C. right now. A lot of stuff going on. How are you doing today?
Well, I came up for the year anniversary of the Charlotte riots and the death of the folks in Charlotte, and I wanted to do a report directly from D.C. I'm in D.C. right now. We interviewed about 20 or so Antifa supporters, including some Antifa people themselves, yesterday. And, of course, I just told them that I was, you know, with the press and I want to know what they believed, et cetera. And it was interesting because I want to I'll tell you my whole experience here in just a moment. But we flew up, and I want to start with the beginning and to then work our way through this. We flew up on Saturday, and we spent Saturday, got here Saturday afternoon, and then we spent Saturday, and then Sunday we went to the Antifa riots. But on Saturday, we went over to the Bible Museum. Well, I was at the Bible Museum. It's sponsored by Hobby Lobby and several ministries around the country. I met a very nice lady by the name of Daryl and her husband, and had a little talk with them in the line there, and they were absolutely wonderful. They're supporters of Health Masters, and they listen to the show every day, so I just want to give them a shout-out. And so we went through this museum. Now, the Bible Museum, I'm thinking it's going to be about the Bible, Hobby Lobby, Christian organization, non-profit organization, and it is exactly what it says it is. It's a museum. It doesn't have anything about the resurrection of Christ. It doesn't have any videos about the resurrection of Christ. Pretty much every single scripture that's quoted or put into print on the walls is Old Testament. It's more of a Torah museum than anything else. And then the only place was upstairs in the very top. There was a Billy Graham exhibit. That was a small area in which Billy Graham's ministry was talking about. They had a few videos of him preaching and doing altar calls, which was pretty good. But overall, I was very, very disappointed with it. Now, because I was expecting it to be I wanted it to proselytize a little bit. But they treated the resurrection, Austin, as if it was not a historical fact. They completely ignored it. They ignored pretty much the entire New Testament except for Billy Graham. And they showed the different way the Bible was processed and, you know, basically reprinted. And they talked a little bit about the Dead Sea Scrolls. And they had actual copies of the Torah. They had actual copies of old Bibles there. But they didn't treat the Word of God as if it was the living Word of God. That's the same today, yesterday, and forever. And they never once went into the Lordship of Jesus Christ. I have no idea what the Greens were thinking by putting together a museum like this. I had heard from one of the workers there that when it had first opened, it had all of that stuff in it. But they were getting complaints because it was proselytizing, which I thought was a great idea. And sadly, I didn't see any Hindus or Buddhists or Muslims or Jews there. All I saw were Christians. And so the Christians were left wanting for more, at least I was. And so I was very disappointed in it from a proselytization standpoint. Now, as a museum, as a dead work of fiction, which it kind of got portrayed as, without showing the resurrection of Christ or the power of the cross or the blood of Jesus or any of that, if you look at it as a work of fiction, it has some very good archives in there and some very good old Bibles and basically things from antiquity as far as ancient things that were laying around, I guess, in Jesus' time. So all that was good. Some of the movies were pretty good, but it was very, as a very big disappointment as a true born-again Bible-believing Christian. If I had left there and I had never heard of Jesus Christ, if I had left there and I had not known about the cross of Christ, if I had left about any, I would have known any difference, Austin. It would not have taught me anything. Anything. Zero. No pictures of Christ on the cross. No pictures of the resurrection. No portraits. No paintings. Nothing showing a resurrected Savior. Now, I don't know if that's because of political correctness. It must have been. I know a lot of the exhibits were Jewish-sponsored. I understood all that. And they don't want to talk about Jesus because they don't believe in Christ as far as their Messiah. And I've got all that. Now, what was so funny, yesterday, we came back from the Bible Museum, and then we decided to go to the, basically, the protests about the white nationals. And let me kind of give you a background of what happened here. So, at first, I was going to be like, let's not take your mom at all, because I got to make sure this can be, if it's going to be very radical, that I want to know what's going on. So I told her, I said, Sharon, I don't really feel safe bringing you into a crowd. There were about 3,000 to 5,000 counter protesters, Austin. It was a lot of people. And wow. I thought, well, I kind of need to make sure that, you know, I'm in a situation where if something happens, then I can at least protect my wife. And it was interesting to me because when I got there, Sharon wanted to go with me. She's pretty tough. And I said, well, I said, I'll be honest with you. I said, I'll take you over there for a little while. And I said, but if it starts getting kind of weird, I'm going to need you to go ahead and go back to the room or just get out of here. I'll take you back to the room because I don't want to be in a situation where I get attacked by a dozen or 15 or 20 people or whatever, and there's nothing I can do because I'm not armed. But let me tell you something, guys. It doesn't matter even if you are armed. If you have 3,000 people in a group that are against you, it doesn't make any difference. You know, if they rush you and they don't scatter, they're going to take the gun or you're going to run out of ammo, so you're going to die. I'm just going to let you know you're going to die because they're going to kill you, especially if you shoot one of them. So you got to be real careful. Plus, D.C. doesn't have a reciprocity law with the state of Florida, so I can't do a concealed weapons permit here at all. I've been reminded that by numerous D.C. police officers today. But it was interesting. Went there, and, of course, now what was interesting here, this is interesting. There's there's two streets. The white, quote-unquote, nationalist group was brought in on one street. We were brought in on another street, and nobody was allowed to go on the white nationalist street except for about a dozen white nationalists in the press. Then about 100 yards away, they had barriers up, and that street was open. So if you were just curious as to what was going on in D.C. yesterday, you weren't allowed to walk around and hear the white nationalists speak at all, period. You couldn't hear them speak. All the media was there. You had to stay with the Antifa group. Now, Antifa was here, and they were here yesterday. The metal helmets on, marching down the street, wearing their bandanas, faces covered, carrying steel pipes. Saw it all. This is not something people are making up. This really is going on. And then they were having signs that had every abuse that you could possibly have leveled against the sitting president of the United States, including white people. Absolutely hate white people. And I mean, it's just the craziest thing I've ever seen. And the white people that were there with me, they didn't seem to mind all the bad stuff being said about white people and white privilege. And there were signs everywhere. And what was interesting about it, Austin, is I started talking to the people. Now, I just approached it as like a reporter kind of standpoint, like being part of the press is not being allowed to go to the press side. And I started asking them. They say, Trump's a pig. He's a fascist pig. He's a Nazi. And I'm like, okay. I thought all the Nazis were dead. So I said to him, I said, he's a Nazi, man. He's got to be in his 90s. Well, no, I mean, he's not really a Nazi. He's a Nazi wannabe. And I said, well, how about these guys that are speaking today? They're all neo-Nazis. They're all fascists. They're all pigs. I'm like, well, what do they have to say? Oh, we don't know what they're saying. We don't know what they stand for. We've never listened to them, but they're fascist pigs. And I looked at them kind of funny. And now I'm in a crowd of about it. They're like, I'm talking like six of them at one time here. And there were white people, primarily all white people. And they were wearing, you know, all their pro-abortion, pro-trans, pro-rainbow, pro-everything, right? And I'm talking to them. I said, well, if you don't know what they say and you don't really understand what they believe in, how can you label them? And they said, well, we know what they are. We know what they stand for. I'm like, well, how do you if you don't listen to them? And they said, well, we don't really care about that. We know that they're fascists. And I'm like, why are they fascists? Well, they don't want open borders. And I'm like, well, why don't they want open borders? We don't know, but we want open borders. We want everybody to come to the United States. And I said, well, who's supposed to pay for the bills? We don't know. We don't care. We just want the rich to pay for everything. And we want everybody, we want them to give us more free stuff. And I'm like, and I'm looking at them also, and I'm thinking about, and they're all like agreeing. And I said, well, who's supposed to pay for all the free stuff? And they're like, we don't care. We just want more free stuff. And I'm like, okay, so you don't really want to work. You don't want to do anything. And then they start asking, well, why are you over here on our side? I'm not on anybody's side here. I don't know what these other guys say. I'm not supporting the white people on the other side. I don't know what they believe in either. I said, but you guys are here protesting him. I'm just here on vacation, so to speak, and kind of want to come up for this rally to see what this thing's going to be all about. So I'm kind of curious as to what you guys believe. So we're walking around, Austin, and we're seeing all of this stuff. And finally, there's this Jewish lady there. And, I thought, okay, well, that's interesting. I said, I wonder what she's doing here. And she was probably, she was more liberal than any of them. She was just absolutely liberal. And she had a bunch of signs she was holding up. She's like 75 years old. So I thought, well, let me talk to her for a minute. And so she held up one sign and said, and I got pictures of her sign. It says, Real Americans Reject Bigotry. And I said, okay. I said, that's really not true. I mean, real Americans basically don't really agree with somebody else. Why would they reject bigotry if they're diametrically opposed to somebody else's value system? But I start talking to her. And then she goes, another side says, tolerance equals two, bigotry equals zero. And then it says, this is the one I started laughing at, Austin. She goes, Jews have signed. I got this picture. I'll send it to you guys if you're on my list. You'll see it. It says, Jews say, love your neighbor as thyself. And I looked at her and I said, well, the Jews really don't say that. And she goes, what do you mean? I said, that's the New Testament. I think that's Mark chapter 12, verse 31. And she goes, no, it's not. That's from the Torah. I said, I don't think so. I said, how's that working out for the boys over in Gaza? Your neighbor as thyself. And she goes, well, that has nothing to do with what's going on in this country. I'm like, well, whatever, you know. I said, but you know, this you're quoting New Testament stuff about love your neighbor as yourself. The Old Testament was an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. I said, that's what the Old Testament Abrahamic law said. And she goes, and people are walking on the grass here. And I'm looking at her. I said, it's a park. She goes, they can't walk on the grass. And that's why I said, I'm done. I looked at her. I said, never mind, ma'am. I said, I got to go. I said, I can't sit here and have you protest the grass right now. I said, I'm talking to you about some other stuff. And then I said to her before I left, I said, have you been to the Bible Museum? And she goes, no, I will never support anything that Hobby Lobby stands for. They're a bunch of bigots, a bunch of fascists, a bunch of white ring nationalists and haters. And I said, Hobby Lobby? And I said, really? I said, have you been to the Bible Museum? She goes, no, I won't support them with my money. And I said, well, it's by donation only. You know, they give you the $20 a person or whatever as a suggested donation. But if you don't want to pay anything, just want to go and look at the Torah and stuff, the stuff they have there, they'll let you in for free. They're not going to make you pay. It's like a ministry. And she goes, I won't even support them with my physical presence in their building.
Oh, my God.
What about that? My response was, myself. What's that all about? I mean, this is ridiculous. She goes, I don't care, blah, blah. Then she starts on the lesbian thing and the gay thing. And I said, okay, I got to go. I'm sorry. Should have left when you started your grass comments. I got to go. And so that's what it was. And so I wrote a few things out yesterday when I was still dealing with this mentally. I was trying to process this and I was trying to understand what I had just seen, because the people were so angry and they were so bitter. And the problem is, Austin, they were so ignorant and uneducated. Now, I'm not saying stupid. I didn't say that. I wouldn't say they had low IQs, but they weren't educated. They didn't understand what the problem was, nor did they even understand what they believed in. They were there because they wanted free stuff, and they believed that pretty much all white people suck. You know, that's pretty much what I heard the whole time, is white people suck. White people suck. And I'm like, oh, God. You know, white privilege sucks, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, you know, so they're doing all these chants about all these white people, about all these white things. Then they start chanting, Black Lives Matter, Black Lives Matter. And so I'm thinking to myself, this is just very, very strange to me that I'm involved in this. And so I came back and I wrote this down. I said, today I was introduced to a cross-section of Americana that even I didn't know existed. Wow. So many perverts, so many weirdos, and really, really angry people. I mean, it was crazy. And then this morning I had processed the information, and last night I'd watched one of the right-wing speakers. I'm not saying that I'm endorsing him, because I don't really know what he believes, but I heard him on TV last night. They actually played the entire speech on a local channel, which was very surprising to me. So I wrote this morning after I had processed it overnight, Austin. I said, it was strange being amongst them, so sick, so perverted, so hedonistic, so confused, so angry, so ignorant, a total product of social engineering through our Marxist indoctrination centers that we call schools, completely and totally unprepared for the reality of the world and the consequences of their decisions. All they want is free everything. They want our stuff with absolutely no idea of what hard work is. If this is the future of our country, then we will be the last generation of semi-free Americans. Then, last night, a local station in D.C. played the speech from the right-wing speaker. He was dressed in a coat and tie. He had no tattoos, no swastikas, no, you know, neo-Nazi memorabilia on him. And he spoke clearly about open immigration and politics and its detrimental effects on the host nation. He was not a Nazi or a neo-Nazi or even a nut. He actually made sense. He was not a racist. sad that the left refuses open dialogue. And that's what I'm taking away from this. I'm taking away from the system here today that the United States, because of what we've done in promoting cultural Marxism to the school systems for the past 60 years, we have actually created a group of people and adults, all the way up to my age, that really think that the country is in trouble because we have a president who's a pig, who's a fascist, who's a racist, who's a neo-Nazi, and none of that's true. In fact, what's interesting about this, an article came out in USA Today, and Harris sent it to me yesterday. It says, Donald Trump broke the presidency. It's time to get rid of the job altogether. This is from the USA Today. Now, let's stop for a second. Let's talk about Obama for a second. Fast and the Furious, IRS Gate, Benghazi, Egypt, Hillary, the fake assassination of Osama bin Laden, all of the things that we have seen under the Obama administration. Let's go back to George W. and his pushing of this Patriot Act and all the things he did after 9/11. Let's go back another notch to Bill Clinton with him giving away our technology and our basically secrets to the Chinese and our silent shaft technology for our submarines and all of the stuff that he gave them as far as guidance for the missile systems for ICBMs. Let's go back all the way to George H. Bush in his New World Order and his thousand points of light. But it's all on Trump. It has nothing to do with what these other nuts have done. It's all on Trump. He broke the presidency. It's time to get rid of the job altogether, according to these people, which I completely and totally disagree with. Here's what he goes on to say. Donald Trump is proof that the U.S. presidency is broken and democracy is in peril. It's time to amend the Constitution and abolish the presidency. Now, think about what they're saying. The people that are writing this are the same people that basically believe what I heard told me yesterday by these basically communist agitators who were at the park. We've seen it. The belligerent, typo-ridden tweets. The fawning press conferences with autocrats and overlords. The self-described Nazis on parade praising an American president's name. We've seen it with our own eyes. There's a bloated authoritarian lounging in his bathrobe at a 200-year-old mansion that used to symbolize the principal republic of the world. At least we got the republic part right. This is a man who openly conspired to cheat, total lie, with the help of a hostile foreign nation and federal election, lie. On election night, he came in second place, lie. This is unbelievable. They call him a usurper that has full power, most powerful military in the world. That's true, but he's not a usurper. Commander of the Treasury. He does, but he doesn't control that Federal Reserve. The absolute power to pardon, that's good. And he can unilaterally annihilate millions of people with his command to deploy nuclear weapons. Let's not forget about Obama making it legal to kill American citizens with drone strikes. That was Obama. He made refugees begging us for mercy into orphans, hoping it will deter asylum seekers. Same thing, same program that Obama had, but nobody could talk about it. He now poised to put a man on the Supreme Court, Brett Kavanaugh, who, by the way, is absolutely horrible, who believes in supreme leaders, the Republican, that is. That's a complete and total lie. He's also the one that said Vince Foster committed suicide. Kavanaugh should never, ever be put on the Supreme Court. Russia attacked our country. We've attacked over 60 countries, by the way, since the CIA was developed, including breaking their countries apart, basically hacking into their computer systems, rigging their elections, and killing their leaders. Just thought I'd mention that, okay? Now, reality is Russia didn't attack the country making the target Hillary Clinton, as it says. It basically may have bought some ads on Facebook promoting Hillary Clinton, but it was inconsequential in the election, and Obama, before he left office, even said that. Then it goes on to say, impeachment won't remove Trump from office, and I have other bad news. The remedy in our Constitution for a treasonous turncoat who we got in the White House on technically is impeachment, but guess what? Impeachment has never gotten rid of a bad president of this country, not ever. Even Clinton finished his term after being impeached. The threat of impeachment got Nixon to step down, but impeachment as a whole has failed, has never lived up to its promise. It failed to remove Andrew Jackson, described by his contemporaries as the vilest, radical, and most unscrupulous demagogue in the Union. Now, let me stop for a second with Andrew Jackson. Andrew Jackson, the reason he got impeached is because Andrew Jackson pardoned Albert Pike. Look it up. Albert Pike was a Civil War general who killed and maimed and did all these brutal crimes trying to win the Civil War, and basically was going to be tried as a war criminal by the government, and Andrew Jackson pardoned him. Why? Because Andrew Jackson was a 33-degree Mason, Albert Pike was a 33-degree Mason, and Albert Pike was above Andrew Jackson and Andrew Johnson in the Masonic order, and he had to do it from a Masonic standpoint. That's why he was pardoned. In fact, we just went through the Capitol today, and she was talking about the impeachment of Andrew Johnson, and I asked her, I said, well, you don't understand why Andrew Johnson got impeached? Well, what do you think? And I said, well, I'll tell you why. Why don't you read Morals and Dogma? You'll see who ran the country at that point in time, which is the same group that basically is running the country right now. And he goes on to abolish the president and save the democracy or whatever, man. And I'm not going to read you the rest of this dribble, but the thing about it is these are the people who were at the park yesterday, Austin, who want to get together now with the media and have a constitutional convention and take all of these the things about God out of the Constitution and tell everybody that, you know, we're not going to have God available for us any longer, and that we're not going to do this because this is what we want to do. I mean, no, we're not. This is not okay. So this is something that really needs to be addressed. But I personally think the system is not broken. I just think the people that we have in office are broken. We really need term limits badly. We need to stop AIPAC and other groups of people like that who have so much control over Congress with their huge lobbying dollars. Oh, that's right. AIPAC is controlled through the Jewish Congress and basically through the Jewish lobby. Oh, that's right. They're also the ones that own the Federal Reserve. Oh, that's right. And they're also the ones that can print as much money as they want to give as many people as they want to control the political outcome of the United States. In fact, Paul Craig Roberts, if you go to his website, just put another article up about this very topic this past weekend. This is a couple days ago. So, guys, it's so important that we understand that until we get these dual national citizens, in fact, we're going to have a guest on Thursday, Chuck Baldwin's coming on. He'll be talking about dual citizenships in Congress and really giving you a list of names. And plus, he'll be talking about, is the system broken? So we're going to be doing a good show with him on Thursday while Austin is out shooting alligators with a permit. I just thought I'd mention that. And I'd rather be with Austin shooting alligators, but the boat's not big enough. So I wanted to share with you, and by the way, another show, another group of people up in Minnesota, another church up there has now taken out of their Apostles' Creed, the God our Father, I believe in God the Father Almighty, they have taken Father out of their Apostle Creed because they don't want to have us as a looking at men. Because remember, this all started with women hating men. This is what happened back in the 60s and the 70s with women's liberation. And it started off with the women's rights suffrage movement, which was controlled by a bunch of really radical lesbians who really hated men. And so now this has pushed itself all the way up to the point now they no longer want to have God the Father Almighty in their Apostles' Creed. So it's really kind of sad to me that this kind of stuff continues to happen on and on and on into nauseam, Austin. And so the thing about it is, guys, is that if we don't do something as Christians, if we don't stand against this, if we don't want to do what needs to be done in order to get this thing fixed, it's not going to get any better, guys. It's going to continue to get worse. If we're not willing to walk in amongst them in a crowd like I did yesterday and try to discuss this thing with these guys, we're never going to know what they believe. Unless you listen to this show, you're never going to know what they believe. But these guys, they don't have a real strong belief structure. They just want your stuff, and they're willing to tell you that. At least that part of it's true, Austin. It's a crazy group of people. But what's your next story, and what do you think?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's definitely an interesting story. I mean, and we've seen some of this online with them, with some of the times they've been interviewed and so forth. And it's like you said, it's not that they, some of them are all super low IQ. They're sitting there with their mouths open, drooling on themselves. It's just they've been fully and totally brainwashed into this Marxist society. Exactly what you said, into believing basically that socialism is pretty much the way to go. That is the only way to go. And we've seen this with the school systems. That's why I've talked about it so much for years, especially over the last 20 to 30 years, because a lot of these kids that are in Antifa are in that prime age. They're my age. They're in their 20s and 30s. And so they were born in the 80s and 90s. And so they've been involved in this school system and this total corruption and basically an abysmal failure of a school system policy that has essentially taught these kids that they don't have to do anything. They can basically rely on the government for free everything. Like you said, Dan, when you said that, you know, well, we want more free stuff. Well, eventually you get to the end of the line where the free stuff has to be coming from somewhere. It doesn't just plop up out of the ground. You know, a Chevy 2500 doesn't just get pulled out of the ground by accident. You don't just pluck one from the grass. You go, okay, that's cool. That one's done now. We're basically going to give that one away for free. No, there's countless hours upon hours upon hours and tens and thousands of dollars of parts that are manufactured to build a vehicle like that, and people assemble them in assembly line, and you got to pay for the facility fees. Also, they don't think about that. They literally just go, well, we want that. We like that truck. You shouldn't have it. I want it, so it's mine. And, you know, that ideology is scary because, as you said, it's really starting to grip. The fact that there were that many people there that were that mad at the so-called neo-Nazis that were there, but yet didn't even know what they were talking about. They didn't even listen to them. They're not wanting to sit down and have a even heated debate anymore.
You've seen
this in videos online where somebody says something, or it's, you know, a Trump supporter or something like that, and four or five of these Antifa guys just run over and start screaming at them. They get in this huge argument, and the guy's sitting there trying to defend himself verbally, and they just are screaming, you know, blankety blank this, blankety blank that, you racist skinhead. And you're like, guys, whoa, take it back a notch. We can get violent if we need to, but shouldn't we sit here and have at least a base discussion on why we're about to get violent? Don't we at least need to know your standpoint and my standpoint and why we're about to fight each other? That's normally most battles and most fights. Somebody does something to you that you're diametrically opposed to. You tell them that you're opposed to it. They basically either say, hey, I'm sorry, bro. I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have done this or that. And then the other person either backs down or they push forward. And then they usually, you know, a fight or confrontation entails. But this is not that anymore.
Nope.
This is just blind anger, rage, and ignorance in this area where they don't even want to have a dialogue. They don't want to have a conversation. They simply see somebody that doesn't agree with their socialist viewpoints, and they immediately want to scream and yell and become belligerent and essentially become violent at some point in time too with a lot of them. And like I said, that's a scary place, Dad, because we've reached this almost in society now where it's like the truth doesn't matter anymore, you know, and it's like good is bad and bad is good and up is down and down is up. We're reaching this paradigm now where everything's being inverted, and it's creepy because it's not getting better, and these guys aren't going away. These groups aren't getting smaller. I mean, we haven't seen these rallies now, you know, five people show up and nobody's there anymore. They're getting bigger. They're getting more aggressive. They're getting, as much I hate to say this, they're getting more organized. They're figuring out how to handle the situation, and they're pushing their rhetoric onto everybody else in such a convincing way that more people are beginning to follow what they say. And that's a creepy place, man. Even Killeen Conway, who basically basically works for multiple, the White House counselor. So, excuse me, the main White House counselor. She said what we're seeing now in the mainstream media is the media is trying to erase Donald Trump's presidency. And this is exactly what I called out a couple weeks ago. They don't want to have him in any point of power where anybody looks back and say, well, Trump did this good or Trump did that good. They're going to try to completely blot him from everybody's memory. They're going to literally try to, and this is what they're going to do, guys. You can see it happening right now. They are literally going to try to associate Donald Trump with a Russian scandal investigation. So anytime you hear the name Donald Trump in 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, they're going to say Donald Trump. Oh yeah, you remember that giant Russian scandal, that hacking of the election, that crazy Russian scandal? Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, I remember hearing about it. I wasn't alive for it, but I remember reading about it in school. You know, this crazy Russian election hacking he was involved in. And 20, 30 years down the road from now, guys, the way the school systems are going, that is the only thing they're ever going to remember about him. And basically, he was essentially a racist bigot that didn't allow free flow, unfettered immigration in this country. That's pretty much what they're going to do. I mean, they're already pulling his star from the Hollywood Walk, which, granted, I don't support Hollywood as well. But when you see the double standard of Bill Cosby's star still on the sidewalk when he's been basically charged and tried and is going to jail for sexual assault and basically convicted, yet they're saying Donald Trump did this, and we're pulling his star now. The first first time they've ever pulled one in 60 years. No, guys, this is a concerted effort to completely and totally control the narrative, just like we saw what happened with last week with InfoWars being put down. This is going on, and something is in the mix right now because they're getting something spooled up. I've said it so many times, I'm saying it again. Something
That's
is
right.
getting spooled up right now because they are not inciting all this hatred into these socialist groups like Antifa for no reason. They are not pushing the mainstream media narrative of basically Trump is a bigot president that needs to be erased from the memory of everybody. They're not pushing the narrative that we need to go to war with Russia. They're not pushing the narrative that essentially anybody that's white is bad and anybody that supports Trump is bad. They're not pushing these narratives by accident. They are pushing them in a very, very specific surgical nature. They're getting everything dialed up on multiple avenues, so it's going to be a full frontal assault. That is my opinion, guys, and I'm sticking to it. I don't do dates. I don't tell you anything like that because, quite frankly, I have no idea. But you can feel it. You can see it going on right now that there is something going on that they do not want to be known. And they're going to do everything they can to control the narrative, because when you have one of the biggest alternative media sites, regardless if you agree with what he says all the time or not, regardless if you think he was acting sometimes, regardless, and he's completely banned from almost every single social media outlet, that is not by chance that it happened in a 12-hour period, and that is not the end of what we're going to see with the purge of the conservative alternative media in the future, Dad, in my opinion.
Well, it's the collusion among all of them, Amazon and the rest of them. I mean, they're all Rothschild controlled. I've told you that. I mean, we are the only people to tell you guys that. I mean, I haven't heard of anybody else. They're all controlled by the central banks. The central banks are the ones who are controlling the stock market right now with all their purchases. I mean, what is it, 40-50% of the entire stock market is central banks where they put all their money into? Are you kidding me? And that they could control it, dump it, make it crash, anything you want by just pulling cash out. And same thing they've been doing for a long, long time. It's just what they do. And it goes back to the social indoctrination centers that we call school systems often. Because remember, I found something interesting when I went to the halls of Congress today and we were looking at we went to the archives building. We saw the Declaration of Independence. We saw the Magna Carta. And, you know, what's happened, like, I think in 1215, and it was rewritten again in 1217 to 97. And, you know, we saw one of the actual copies of the four Magna Cartas that are there from, like, I think it was 1297. It was in the, you know, it was on display. And basically what it said was, to boil it back down, the king can't take you back and hang you without a trial by your peers. That's what it says. I mean, you can't just go kill you if you want. You know, you got certain rights, and one of them is not to die, which is what they love to do. But the reality is this. It's sad that we as human beings had to put that into a doggone document. And, of course, the king who did it, just is the one who did it originally, he tore it up after a couple months and decided he wasn't going to do it anymore. And he decided to go and start killing people again, then had to come back out again, like 70 years later. I mean, you know, you got to think through this for a second. These guys, they don't want us to have freedom. They don't want that. When you have a monarchy, they don't want you to have freedom. They consider you to be inferior. They're a blue blood, whatever that's supposed to mean, probably some kind of Nephilim DNA. And of course, I'm not being facetious. And you know, they consider themselves to be different DNA than we are. We're just commoners. And then they don't want us to have stuff. They don't want us to have education. And then one other thing, it was interesting, I was hearing, one of the other things that I saw, is that the reason that these things weren't widely distributed before the Gutenberg Bible is because nobody read. And remember, the Catholic Church didn't want anybody to read the Bible. Because, you know, it really wasn't easily transmitted because it didn't have the printing press with Gutenberg. So they were all very, very valuable. They didn't have like school systems like we have now, which they taught people how to read, like reading, writing, and math. They didn't have that. And so they wanted the peasants ignorant. They wanted them completely in awe of the Catholic Church. Like I said, when you go into Cologne, Germany, you see these giant spears coming up, you know, hundreds of feet into the air, and these guys used to living in mud huts. They wanted them to go, oh my gosh, this must be God. And when they started reading the Bible, bad things started happening because they started questioning leadership because they were saying that the Bible says such and such, but it didn't. That was happened with Martin Luther. He said, you know what, you guys are awful, man. Why are you selling these indulgences? You can't be doing stuff like this. This isn't okay. And then all of a sudden we started getting this distribution of these Bibles, you know, throughout the world. And also people started realizing that a lot of the things that they had been taught simply weren't true. That it was basically something that had been used as a control mechanism for the masses who had been kept ignorant. And Austin, that's what I saw yesterday, bud. You had to think that I had to have a reason for talking about this stuff. That's what I saw yesterday. The people there were so ignorant. I'm not saying stupid. I'm not saying low IQ. They were uneducated. They were ignorant. And they didn't have any idea of why they were even there or what they believed in. And it was the most amazing group of people that I've ever seen from a negative standpoint. I've never seen that many weirdos in one spot that absolutely had no idea of what they even believed, primarily because probably also most of them really had not been educated in anything besides what their leftist parents had taught them in their indoctrination centers. And this is what we've gotten. By the way, it's the United Methodist Church of Minnesota that removed Father from the Apostles' Creed. I want to mention that to you. That was an article that I pulled up just now because I had seen it earlier this morning. But this is what they're doing, Austin. They're doing everything they possibly can to destroy the very fabric of our society. Marx would be totally proud of what we've done and what they've done in the United States. Russia, the Soviet Union, has fallen and collapsed because of this, because they implemented full Marxism. And this is what they're going to do. Soon they'll be taking the farmers in the United States, if this doesn't stop, and taking their land away from them and having people who don't know how to grow crops, like they've done in Africa, South Africa now, to grow the crops because it's the right thing to do because white people are all bad. I mean, guys, no, man, this is not cool. We can't be allowing these guys to talk like this. I mean, I couldn't believe it last night. You know, white pride, white this, white privilege. I was hearing all the afternoon. I thought, wow, guys, you know, don't get me wrong, but you know, we're not even going to be a majority in this country much longer. And God help the United States with these nutbags that are the socialists, Austin, get into power and take control of everything, including making the rest of us work to support them, because sooner or later everybody stops working. They've seen it in classrooms. Yep. You give everybody a B, everybody stops studying, grades go down, everybody gets a B, nobody cares, nobody studies, nobody learns anything, nobody is productive any longer if they don't have a challenge or a goal for themselves. That's what the Bible says. Without a vision, my people perish. And guys, we have to have goals, we have to have dreams, we have to have visions. And their vision yesterday was to take your stuff, my stuff, Austin's stuff, our stuff, distribute it by themselves. Of course, you got to remember, Obama was a complete communist. Remember what he said? We want to basically take the stuff and so we want to spread the wealth around. Whatever the heck that is. There's a guy. The guy's worth $100 million now, whatever he's worth. And they're going to spread the wealth around. Why don't we spread some of his wealth around also? Why don't we take his $100 million, whatever he's worth, and why don't he just take all about $200,000 or $300,000 and try to live on that like the rest of the folks in the United States who basically have hardly any money at all, you know, are living, you know, on $20,000 or $30,000 or $40,000 a year. That's why I was opposed to what Robert David Steele said on that one show, that he wanted to give Hillary Bill Clinton $10 million and basically their pensions and let them continue to do what they're doing and continue to build money up, you know, with their speaking engagements and not try to prosecute them for capital punishment and for capital crimes for all the people he killed, for all the people that have been involved in their murders. And guys, that's not okay with me. These guys have got to be held accountable. The problem is, Austin, with a system as corrupt as it is here in D.C., I don't think Hillary Clinton will ever be brought to justice because she knows where too many bodies are buried and she knows who was involved with her in helping to bury those bodies. What do you think?
No, I think you're spot on with it. There's no question about it. There, if she was going to be indicted, if she was actually going to be prosecuted, that would have already happened. I mean, all the hoorah-rah at the beginning of the election, or the beginning of basically Donald Trump's presidency after he was elected, and everybody, you know, basically jail Hillary and Hillary for prison. I mean, there was a big push for that. American population in unison, at least the side that's awake, was sick of the Clintons, completely sick of them. And I knew when Trump did that interview right after he had been elected and basically was like, well, Bill and Hillary are good people. We're just going to let them be now. And I was like, oh, gosh. I'm like, the problem is, though, how do you handle somebody that has dirt on everybody in an elected government body? How do you handle that? Because, I mean, it's a very legitimate question. Because if you start pulling strings out and you start basically taking her into prosecution and she starts basically pulling the blocks out, like on a, you know, Jenga game, when you're building the tower and you're pulling the blocks out of it, and all of a sudden she starts pulling out 3, 4, 5 blocks at a time. Well, I'm going to go ahead and let you guys know about this, and I'm going to let you know about this, and I'm going to let you know about this. And all of a sudden you start realizing that the elected body that we have in Washington, D.C. is significantly more corrupt than we ever expected, which is exactly what I think would happen. It would be catastrophic. It would be catastrophic. I think it would end up taking down majority of the entire government that we have in our system right now. And that may be, you know, and who knows? That may be a fail-safe at the end. That may be one of those, you know, last-ditch efforts. If they can't control stuff, that's how they're going to do it. Who knows? But right now, they're trying to win the hearts and minds of the younger population. I even saw an article today, a Gallup poll, reported this morning that Democrats now have a more positive image of socialism than they do capitalism for the first time since Gallup polling has ever been doing questions. They said that Gallup notes there has been a 12-point decline in young adults' positive views of capitalism as well just in the past 2 years, and a marked shift since 2010 when 68% viewed it positively. Now 47 do. What's crazy about this, and this has also been an effort on both sides, because you can't just get the younger generation completely brainwashed just through the school system. You have to make them watch what happens in a society that's controlled by the bankers and is controlled only by the bankers, i.e. the Federal Reserve, because what they have done and manipulated the markets and causing these crashes and booms and these really great times and these really low times and completely and totally stealing people's wealth like they have done through Bitcoin, like they have done for decades and decades through the stock market, like they have done through their entire digital currency scam now, you start breeding that animosity towards capitalism in younger generations because they don't really know anything else to blame it on, because they think that's the only thing to blame it on, because they don't understand who's pulling the strings behind the banker doors, behind the bank's doors. And so it's crazy to see now that we see the Democrats are truly, pretty much now, a socialist party. And they're blatantly saying that now. So, I mean, that's another aspect that's pretty crazy. But other news, too, that I thought was really, really cool news today, and this is about stinking time. Bayer bought out Monsanto, as you guys know. Bayer's shares plunged almost 14% this morning, losing $14 billion in value after newly acquired Monsanto basically lost the lawsuit and was ordered to pay $289 million in damages at the end of last week on the first of possibly thousands of U.S. lawsuits over the alleged link between Roundup and cancer after the verdict in favor of a California school groundskeeper with terminal cancer last week. Monsanto faces more than 5,000 similar lawsuits across the United States over its claims that it did not warn of the cancer risk of glyphosate-based weed killers, including Roundup. Monsanto said it would appeal against the jury's verdict in California from last week. Of course it did. The case by plaintiff Dwayne Johnson, not The Rock, this is a different one, filed in 2016, had to be fast-tracked for trial due to severity of his non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, and he alleges was caused by Roundup and also Ranger Pro, another Monsanto glyphosate-based herbicide. This was fantastic today. Anytime you see a company is sadistic in that manner, I guess is the best way to put it, of Monsanto and Bayer and what they've been involved in throughout the entire years, all the way going back to World War II with Bayer, and what we've seen now with Monsanto, the fact that they lost this lawsuit is incredibly awesome. The fact that their stocks plunged is even better, but the fact that this now will set a precedent for so many future lawsuits to come against these guys that they did not skate on this lawsuit is incredible to me. Bayer's statement, which is, this is so funny. They are like the ultimate spin factory. Bayer and Monsanto are just, they can spin anything. It doesn't matter how hard they have to lie. They can still spin it. This is their response to it. They said, the jury's verdict is at total odds with the weight of scientific evidence, decades of real world experience, and hundreds of conclusions from regulators around the globe that all confirm glyphosate is completely safe and does not cause lymphoma. Which is ironic because everything they said in that rebuttal is pretty much a lie, because all the research that actually has come out now has shown the quite opposite, including the article that we have on our website at Health Masters that you can go look at, where they fed mice fully ready Roundup resistant corn that was basically doused with Roundup, and every single rat in the entire study they did came down with huge gigantic tumors throughout their entire body when they were fed strictly GMO Monsanto glyphosate corn. So when you see stuff like that, and then you hear Bayer rebuttal just asinine comments like that, like it goes against real world experience and everybody's completely safe. Come on, guys. The gig's up. You lost the lawsuit at $280 million now. It's over with. Now they can appeal it and they'll probably spread this out now and try to drag it on so they won't have to pay this guy, because if he dies with the cancer, they probably have some type of clause they won't have to pay his estate. Who knows? But this is the fact that it set the precedent that they lost, Dad, was awesome last week, and the fact that it showed when their shares dropped a significant amount, 14% this morning, that was awesome.
Well, quite frankly, they'll appeal this into infinity and beyond.
Yeah.
unless the court comes in and says they have only X amount of time for the appeal because the guy's about to die. But there's 5,000 more of these cases coming. I mean, this is going to be a bankrupting nightmare. This is the same thing that would have happened to the vaccine corporations that were manufacturing vaccines because they were killing people. And you think, well, they don't kill people. Well, sure they do. That's why there's a vaccine compensation fund that's paid out billions and billions and billions of dollars because people have died from vaccines. And now it's almost impossible to even get representation in that court because there's so many more vaccine suits being filed on an ongoing basis, guys. We're not making it up. Billions and billions of dollars in payouts. I mean, this is $280 million. The vaccine court's paid out 20 times that, Austin. 20 to 15 to 20 times that. And it would have paid out a lot more if the money would have been there for it. By the way, the media is diverting your attention. I'm going to start on this. This is because we're talking about the groups now that are trying to cause a civil war in the United States. This is an article from Bradley Dean. The media is diverting your attention from the 35 known jihadi camps in America, and you should be asking why. It was reported last week on the Sons of Liberty Media by Mark Salvo that 11 children were rescued from a compound in New Mexico, which was being run by armed Muslim extremists. Authorities found all the children living in a deplorable living condition after raiding the property looking specifically for a 3-year-old boy. It's also being reported they were training children for school shootings. A Muslim military camp heavily armed in New Mexico, training up children to go into schools and shoot them up. Yes, you heard that right. In America. They are bringing their culture with them to this country. The Muslims are looking for help. They are here to terrorize, and they are looking to conquer. What you're not being told by the media, you're being told by the they're contributing to society, the corruption. Really? Let's look at the Muslims from an east. Let me repeat that. I read it too quickly. But what you are being told by the media is, quote, you're being told that they are contributing to the United States society. Really? Let's take a look at Muslims from the east who are plundering countries that they are entering. Denmark, 450% more crimes since the Muslims have been coming in. Germany, Muslims migrants committed 442,500 crimes in 6 months. That's 780 Muslim crimes per day. In Sweden, 480,000 sexual assaults in 1 year, 77% of all rapes by less than 2% Muslim. England and Wales, over 56% of Syrian refugees committed severe crimes in less than 1 year. Belgium, 35% of the prison population is now Muslim, who makes up only 6% of the population. In the UK, Muslims fill 44% of high security prisons out of a 5% population. USA, 91.4% Muslim recipes are now on food stamps. 68.3% are on cash welfare. Muslim migration has doubled in the decades since 9/11, and 60% of the migrants to America favor Sharia law. I mean, think about what we're saying here, what's going on, and what the media is doing. Now, here is what Albert Pike, in his letter to Manzini, which I think is not a forgery, I think that is real, he said basically there are going to be three wars, First World War, Second World War, and the Third World War, the Zionists and Christians against the Muslims. And how would we know how many Muslims have been trained in these 35 known jihadi training camps in America that are being allowed to be here by our federal government? You know, Austin, if we decided to start a right-wing militant camp to train people how to kill people, we would be shut down so fast. Now, I'm not saying I would ever do that because that's completely illegal as far as I'm concerned, but why in the world is it legal for these guys to do this? Why is it legal for them to have jihadi camps in America? Why? Why is that okay? Why aren't our congressmen doing anything about this? Why in the world is this happening, and why in the world is it okay for us to sit here and not say anything about it? It's not okay. That's why we're talking about it on a regular basis here on the Ted and Austin Brower Show, because whatever they don't want to touch as far as the rest of the alternative media, we're going to touch it. What do you think, Oz?
No, you're exactly right. That is crazy. I mean, the fact that stuff's going on and the mainstream media doesn't even want to basically touch base on it. I mean, absolutely crazy. There's another one, too, that I found to be interesting. I've seen a couple articles on mainstream media have picked it up, but very few now. The question is, where I saw here, who presides over the impeachment trial of a state Supreme Court justice if the entire state Supreme Court is being impeached? This is going on in West Virginia right now, and they're trying to grapple with it after the West Virginia House of Delegates Judiciary Committee drafted articles of impeachment against four justices on the state's highest court. Five justices sit now at the state Supreme Court in West Virginia. Basically, the state legislature has drafted articles of impeachment against four of them. The court's fifth justice retired in late July. Ketchum, who's basically the fifth one, will plead guilty to two federal corruption charges on August 29th. Lowry was placed on unpaid administrative leave in June after the state commission lodged a 32-count complaint against him, alleging perversive violations of the state ethics code. He has since been indicted in federal court for witness tampering, fraud, and making false statements to investigators. The remaining three are facing impeachment for wasting government resources and failing to effectively administer the state courts. All three of them were caught spending large sums of taxpayer dollars on lavish improvements to their chambers in the state capitol, which totaled almost $800,000, and allegedly abused state travel resources. Workman and Davis also allegedly authorized compensation to other state judges in excess of amount allowed by West Virginia law. They said West Virginia's constitution provides that the Chief Justice shall preside over impeachment trials in the state Senate. As Chief Justice Workman herself, however, is subject to impeachment, she is ineligible to preside. Workman appointed Campbell County Circuit Judge Paul Farrell to the High Court as an interim last Friday night. This is just, I don't know what in the world was going on here. I saw the article earlier. I had to report on it because this literally sounds like a clown show. I feel like I'm going to the circus to hear something with this. I don't understand how all these guys can be involved in this much stuff, but again, they very well may be, or it may be something else. And we got to do some digging on these guys and figure out what in the world is going on in West Virginia. But have you heard anything about that yet, Deb?
I read the same article you had read, Austin, and I, you know, it's just, to me, a lot of the Supreme Court justices in a lot of the different states, they shouldn't be getting these lifetime, appointments to the court. They should be, just like everybody else, they should be elected officials. They should go in and get out. Should have a 4-year term, and that's it. And the reason for that is the political corruption, because these guys start getting bribed. And this apparently is what's happened in West Virginia, or they're working, doing things they shouldn't ought to do, or helping people they shouldn't ought to help. But it's the same thing. Every time in our ballots in the state of Florida, they're always asking, should so-and-so be removed from office, or should it be replaced, blah, blah, blah. My response is always yes, all the way down as far as the judges. You say, well, sometimes you have good judges. I know that. But unless I know everything that judge has been voting for, I just say, yeah, just remove him from office, rotate. To me, I'm a big proponent of rotation. Now, if there is a really good judge that I know about him, and I'll put down no, if I've done the research on him or if I've got enough information on him. But guys, when these guys are making these really bad court rulings, like, perfect example, U.S. federal court orders seizure of Venezuela's Citgo petroleum assets in the United States. Now, okay, what gives them the right to do that? A U.S. federal judge authorized the seizure of Venezuela's only sizable U.S. asset, Citgo Petroleum. This was the country's major source of income, and its loss will basically bankrupt and destroy the Maduro regime. Again, here we go again, you know, doing what we want to do in our other countries. Venezuela is $150 billion in debt and will fall into full default without the income from Citgo. Oh, that's right. That's what they wanted to do, didn't it? So they can seize their assets and put it in their little central bank. The Russians will also lose money because they own 49% of Citgo. I mean, guys, think about this for a second. What the heck did Citgo? I mean, it's not bad enough that Venezuela is in an unbelievable, unprecedented slide into chaos, and people are starving to death on the streets. Remember when I told you guys the other day, you don't need law, you don't need war anymore. You don't need that. Economic sanctions and stuff like this, that's all you got to do. The country destroys itself almost within a couple of years if it's not shorter than this. Look what we're doing to Turkey right now. Empire is shot in Venezuela or Turkey, and both the countries are on the ropes. Why? Because we're the economic superhouse, powerhouse, dollar, you know, Federal Reserve Bank that basically we've gone to unbelievable, unprecedented debt with, that allows us to go in and pretty much bully everybody through sanctions. And so it's ridiculous that we're doing this to Venezuela. I mean, when the Chavez wanted his gold back, I told Austin they're going to destroy the country. When Puerto Rico decided they no longer wanted to pay the bills and they defaulted on $50 billion, suddenly a hurricane parks over their country a few years later, and suddenly they're destroyed. Oh, yeah, that's right. You don't go against the bankers, right? Unbelievable. Guys, I love you. I appreciate you, too. Austin, have fun with the rest of the show. I'll be headed home tomorrow morning. Hopefully I'll be back for the show tomorrow afternoon. Guys, God bless you. Thanks for the support. And it's nice meeting Daryl and her husband yesterday. That was fun yesterday at the Bible Museum. And guys, I'm here. I'm in the trenches with you, doing what I know to do. God bless you. I love you. Did not have a chance yet to pray for you guys today. I will as soon as the show ends. I appreciate you, guys. God bless you, Austin. It's all yours.
Absolutely. You guys, we do appreciate everything on that. And one other thing that I saw, too, I thought this was very interesting. Just kind of as on a side note, there's an article I saw today that said, do you check your work email account even when you're out of the office? They said new study from Virginia Tech shows it can be harming your relationships and also mental health. They said, according to the research, even though you think checking your out-of-hours email may be making you a good employee, it may be doing serious damage. Now, the reason why I wanted to add on to that a little bit is because if you are running your own business, if you're constantly working with suppliers and wholesalers and all types of manufacturers like I do, this has become something you have to learn to deal with, and you have to figure out how to balance it as healthy as possible. And so that's why there's a lot of times you guys see me, I don't answer, I don't respond to anything on the weekend, just because I try to get away from that. Now, when we are super busy and I have stuff going on, I always do what I have to do, and if that means being on the computer and working all weekend, I will do so. But be sure, especially if you're working for a big company that doesn't really require you to be involved in anything on the weekend and you're not working weekend shifts and stuff like that, there's really no reason to be on it, because what happens is, it's the same thing with social media, same thing with the emails, the same thing with the internet. If you're not doing it for a specific purpose, you're not looking something up, if you're not trying to be proactive on some aspect, just sitting there and stressing yourself out really isn't healthy. And that's what it pretty much says in this article here, is where you think you're being more productive, but in reality, it's really just stressing you out more. There's a lot of stuff you really can't do about it, especially if it's just an employee email and you're not going to be able to work on it till Monday anyways. There's no reason to stress yourself out and worry, because what good does worrying do? I mean, it doesn't help at all. So it just makes you more stressed out, and there's no reason to do that. So we appreciate the support, guys. Thank you for everything. Got a lot of emails over the weekend that I'm responding to, and thank you for that. If you guys need anything, be sure to call us, 1-800-726-1834. The website product of the week, if you guys saw that, I had it on sale. It's going on sale till Wednesday. Today's Monday. Is the probiotic 350 billion, really popular product. I saw a lot of people took advantage of that over the weekend. The winner right now of this week on Wednesday looks like it's going to be the Ultimate Multiple Powder, which is going to be pretty good. I didn't realize it was going to win by that big of a margin. So apparently you guys overwhelmingly want that to win, which I'm very excited about. So be sure to check that out on the website. And also, too, be sure to check out the Ultimate Multiple Capsules and the Ultimate Multiple Chewable. We carry three different versions of that, with our powder, chewable, and capsules, for a specific reason, because that is a very, very important base supplement to start on, almost like your foundation of a house that you're building, making sure you're getting the positive minerals and vitamins on a daily basis that you need. And be sure, if you guys need anything else, there's multiple other kits, sales, specials, three packs, lots of stuff we run on a regular basis on the website at healthmasters.com. So we love you guys. We appreciate you. Have a blessed, safe, awesome night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow, as always.